Thank you, Quinn. Let's open your Bibles in Psalm 121. I just want to read that. The title of my message this morning is not in Psalm, but the title is The Church of the Kingdom. Last week, can anybody please help me out? What did I talk about last week? Okay, kingdom versus the church. What are some of the things I talked about? This morning, I thought, man, if nobody can tell me what I talk about, what's the point? Seriously. Jenna? You reading? Okay, you read. Oh, you took note last week. That's good. That's a good thing. You can go back to your notes. You know, I don't know if you guys have journals. If you take notes, because sometimes, the words, they fly by. You know, there's a French proverb says, les paroles s'envolent, the words flies. But les écritures restent, what you wrote remains, you know. And I'm going to ask you right now, for the next however long I'm going to talk, to give me your attention. You know, turn your phones off. Turn your phones off for a minute, for 30 seconds or 30 minutes. And I'm serious. That's an exhortation. You know, just give God your attention for the next couple of 35 minutes. And I tell myself that. I go in my chambers and I'm like, turn your phone off. Because my phone just kept ringing. I kept getting WhatsApp messages and Facebook messages and emails and texts. I work on my phone and my computer. And sometimes if I'm not intentional about turning them off, the enemy just use it. They're good tools. We love them. They're not evil. Our phone is not evil. You know? But Satan will do whatever it takes to steal your attention, you know, to steal your devoted attention. So, think about that. I'm going to let you go this morning. But next week, I'm coming back. I'm going to pass the mic around. I want to know what I've been talking about in the past month. What have you learned? How are you applying what I'm telling you in your life? You know, it's just like, if you go to the doctors and he prescribes something and you don't take it, you don't apply it, I mean, yeah, it's not going to be good for you. And most of us won't do that. You will listen to your doctor because you know what he says will be good for you. I'm your spiritual doctor. And God gives me authority, bring me in your life to challenge you. And I have, next week I'm going to talk about something very interesting. I take delight, pleasure in being your pastor. I pray for you. I seek God for you. I pray for you. I pray that God would, even for you guys, you teenagers, you need Jesus. Don't just come here because your parents drag you here. You think you don't need Jesus? You need Him. I tell my kids the same thing. Worship God. You see, in our democratic mindset, we don't know what worship is. But the kingdom, God is a king. So we worship our king. How do we worship? We don't know sometimes. Even the expression of worship. Have you ever worshipped something you have? I'll give you a crazy example. That used to happen to me. I grew out of. You know, maybe some of us are still like that. You know, this pair of shoes is expensive. You know, you want it. You've been wanting it, and you know you look good in it, huh? And you know this is the shoe for the moment. You know, and sometimes you know you're like. You're worshiping that shoe. You know, you take it off, you put it on the counter, you know? It's like you put it on there. You step back. Nothing wrong with that, okay? Nothing wrong. Don't beat yourself up for doing that. I used to. I might still do it sometimes. But the expression of worship, holy, holy is our God Almighty. And I'm going to challenge especially some of you teenagers. When you're part of the worship service, I mean, don't just do this. It's like, when are we going to be done? I'm talking to you guys. I'm challenging you. It's like, okay, what's next? I looked at you. You don't see it. And I know it's like, yeah, I'm putting you on the spot. That's my job. Because if I don't care enough to make sure you have Jesus, I might as well go be a plumber. I might as well go be a plumber. I love plumbing. I might as well. If I can't challenge you, if I can't make sure that you're on the narrow road, everything is out to kill you. Everything is out to kill me. Steal my joy, steal my peace. Everything. This past week, I don't know, I preach a sermon, but right now I'm just talking my heart, all right? This past week, I took some time to listen to the news because of everything that's going on. There's nothing encouraging in the news. Why would I want to bury my head in the news? Why? First of all, it's not healthy for me. Now I'm talking, okay? This is me. Maybe you can learn something from what I'm learning. It's not healthy for me. So therefore, I'm not going to put myself in it. I read the headlines just to find out what's going on, and you pray. Everything is out. What else do we love more than Christ? A lot of things. A lot of things. And I thank God that as the return of the Lord Jesus is nearer and nearer, He's purifying the church. A lot of people are leaving the church because they were never part of the kingdom. But those of us who understand the kingdom, nobody can take you all out of the kingdom. That makes sense? So guys, keep pressing on. Keep worshiping the Lord. If you don't know how to worship, just look at your mom or look at your dad. Look at Dan or Axi or some of us up there. You know, sometimes you don't know what to do. You know, what is this? When you do this, you know what that means? I surrender. I surrender. I surrender all. Thank you for helping me. I surrender it all. And sing holy, holy, holy. Is the Lord, that's what the angels, you know, it is a privilege. You and I, God doesn't need your praise. God doesn't need your worship. He does not need it. It is a privilege you and I have to enter and to offer Him a sacrifice of worship. Non-stop, 24/7, the angels are crying, holy, holy, I count it a privilege. I counted a privilege. What a privilege I have this morning, Lord, to come. That's why I asked you to open your Bibles in Psalm 121. Psalm 121. What a privilege we have. Where's Psalm? It's here somewhere. Psalm 121. Actually, 122. Psalm 122. It says, I was glad when they said to me, let us go to the house of the Lord. And I'm asking myself, are you excited today that you are in the house of the Lord? You know, or is it just a burden? You know, and I know it's good. We have our services online, and kingdom greetings to those of you that are watching online now or later. But you know what? It is a privilege that I can wake up with the desire to go in the house of the Lord. You know? And some people, they're getting lazy. That's it. They're getting lazy because, you know what? It's like, I want to watch. And the crazy thing is, I want to watch it at home. There's nothing wrong about it. But the problem is, your chances to get distracted is 120%. It takes a lot of effort this morning to get here. It takes a lot of discipline. It takes a devotion. It's because you are devoted to the body of Christ, like Quinn read in Romans chapter 12. It took you everything you have. Some people are not here because they're not devoted. Not only that, I know some can't be here because they've got other obligations. I'm not talking about those people. No condemnation. But it grieves my heart to see people have lost that appetite. And Psalm David says, I was glad. I was glad when they invited me. Are you glad? You don't have to answer this, but are you glad to be in the presence of the Lord? Because the focus is the presence of the Lord. Are you glad to be in the presence of the Lord? I am glad to be in the presence of the Lord. Because I need Jesus right now. I need Jesus today. I need His touch. I can't live from what I had yesterday, just like we eat every day. Don't we? We eat every day. Everything in this world will fade away. They will take everything away from you. But there's one thing they can't take away from you, is that intimate relationship. And I tell you, as the day is getting closer for the return of the Lord, it's going to be harder to be a Christian, to be a follower of Christ. It's going to be harder to be a follower of Christ. I was glad when they said to me, let's go to the house of the Lord. And I prayed this morning. I said, Lord, keep me that way. Give me that hunger. Just like some of us, we have a sweet tooth. Lord, I said, give me a sweet tooth. Jesus, give me a sweet tooth. Can I have a witness? Amen. That shoe fly pie, I tell you, Nancy. That apple pie. Amen. That pineapple. Oh, that's good. That's good stuff. Pineapple, that's pretty good. Bible again. I was glad when they tell me, let's go in the house of the Lord. And now we stand here inside your gates. You see, beyond the veil, this is something as a worshiper, I studied worshiping beyond the veil. Something for you to understand. Before Jesus died on the cross, nobody had access beyond the veil. Only one person once a year, one high priest once a year had access beyond the veil. Like right now, we are beyond the veil, meaning we have direct access to the Father. I don't need a priest anymore. I don't need to go to a box and tell my Father, I have sinned this week. Please forgive me. No more. All of us have a direct line. I mean, contact with Father. I don't have it better than you do. As a matter of fact, you can have it as much as I do. I can have it. All of us. You can be on fire for Jesus as much as I am. You can devote your life for Christ as much as I am. And you know, when I look at my life, I'm like, people that knows me for years, I remember the day I met Jesus. I understand the kingdom. I've worked outside of ministry. I've had jobs outside of being a pastor. 10-hour days and studying. As a matter of fact, there's one time I had to have two jobs to keep things going. Work delivered pizza, go to cell group, go to worship practice. I've done it. Okay? So I don't tell you nothing I haven't done. For me, it's like being a hypocrite. I won't tell you anything that I haven't experienced. I know it's, if I tell you it's possible, I know it is. I know it's not easy, but I know it is. If I tell you can live by faith, I know it is. If I tell you about healing, I know there's healing. If I tell you the Holy Spirit can rock your world, you guys, teenagers, all of us, from the youngest to the oldest. If I tell you there is power in the Holy Spirit, and we need Him more than ever. So be encouraged today. I was glad when they said to me, let's go to the house of the Lord. Sometimes, there's a picture I saw online one time. It's a guy dragging his body. You know, sometimes you have to drag your body. You know, the spirit man says, let's go, buddy. Get your body to do the things of God. Get your body to do the things of God. Get your body to speak the truth, to speak life. And that's one thing I love about the Kingdom Church. You know, I thank God for what He's doing in this world. Last week, I mentioned kingdom-minded forces you to think 7 days a week about the kingdom. Kingdom, when you're kingdom-minded, you think a lot about kingdom thing. Just like when you're earthly-minded, you think a lot about earthly things. For example, all of us here, we are three-dimensional people. I am a spirit. I have a soul. I dwell in a body. My real me is my spirit. Or everyone is born in spiritual death. Okay? That's why we need to confess Jesus as our Lord to be born again. Then you have eternal life. I told you, born once, die twice. All of you should understand what I'm talking about by now, right? But if you're born twice, you only get to die once. Meaning, if you're born physically and born spiritually, then you only have to experience physical death. But physical death is inevitable. All of us will die. It doesn't matter. You know, trying to do plastic surgery to keep your face younger. How many plastic surgery are you going to do? It doesn't work. We gotta get old. We are only here on earth for a certain amount of time. As a matter of fact, the Bible says 70 years for those of us that are more robust or more healthy or more blessed, maybe. You might live to 80, maybe to 100, 110. It happens. But it's nothing for us to be sad about, because your real you is your spirit. That's why I invest in your spirit. Have you ever asked yourself, why is the world so against spirit or the word of God? Why is the world, everything is about the flesh? Why everything is just like appealing to the eye? Everybody wants to stay 18. Yeah, you should take care of yourself. You should stay healthy. But we're getting older. The body is decaying. We gotta go. Your grandparents was. Now they're not anymore. Your children are coming and they're gonna be gone. Listen, it's nothing for us to be afraid of or be sad. Oh man, I'm gonna die. No, stop it. As a matter of fact, the Bible says God rejoiced on the death of His saint. So each time one of us go to heaven, the Lord's like, there's a party. There's a party. That's why make sure all of us here, make sure your counter, your relationship counter, your tank, you know, your gas tank, make sure it's on full. If you don't drive, you'll understand this. Your gas tank, there's a gauge on your board, on your dashboard, that tells you how much gas you have. And we drivers, we constantly watching that. As a matter of fact, sometimes we get distracted. We don't watch it. There's a light warning like bing ding. It's like you've got 12 miles till everything goes. So you better, between those 12 miles, stop. A couple months ago, I had that on my motorcycle. Sometimes I just want to, I don't know, man. I've got these things, like, I'm going to stretch it to see how many miles I can get. But let me tell you this. You don't have to pray, Lord, please, Jesus, please. May I, you know, sometimes there is miracles happen. If you don't have the money, it does happen. But if you have the money, gas stations are available, please fill up. So that one day I was just like, I'm going to see if I can make it home. I was coming from here. I'm empty on my motorcycle. It's like, I'm going to see how much I can stretch it. My bike says, you have about 12 miles. But I know it takes me between, 15 miles from here to my house. But I knew that. I mean, in my mind, in my brain, there is something like, let's try it. You know the rest of the story. I had to call Kendra, hey, honey, can you please bring me some gas? Didn't work. It did not work. Make sure your tank, your gauge with your relationship with the Lord, make sure it's not going on empty. Don't run on somebody else's passion. Do not run on somebody else's passion, on somebody else's love for the Lord. Amen. This is the time to get on fire for Jesus. Guys, listen to me. This is the time for you to know in your knowing, am I a child of God? Am I a kingdom citizen? Do I have a relationship with Jesus? Yes, you do. I have no doubt most of you here, all of you, if not all of you, you do have a relationship with Jesus. But cultivate it. Keep putting fuel in your tank. I cannot fill my tank today by faith. Going to the gas station, 7-Eleven. All right, Jesus, you know what? Me and you, Father, I believe, Father, today, you know, so I'm praying, all right? Jesus, I'm praying right now. Lord, I believe in miracles. In the name of Christ, this is the last fill. Well, you know what's going to happen. God has given me the money. I believe miracles can happen if I need to. But right now, I don't think I need to pray that prayer. It's the same thing. Your spiritual life, you have to keep it filled in reading, meditating the word of the Lord. Read your Bible. Read your Bible. Read your Bibles. Meditating on the word of the Lord. Tell my kids that. Meditate. Know God's word more than ever. Know God's word. Know the word. Know the word of the Lord. You got to know it. You got to know what God says. You got to know the good news about the end time. So I'm not freaking out. I'm not freaking out at all. Does it affect me? Yes. Does it give me anxiety? Yes. But I go to the word. I'm like, okay, God, this is what your word says. And I know who I am. Check your gauge. Make sure your gauge. You're not running on empty. Make sure you're running on full. Huh? Between half and full. That's a good position to be, huh? Between half and full. There is another gauge in our car that we better pay great attention to. It's what you call your heating gauge. And you want that to be from cold and mid. You don't want mid to hot. Because if you're hot or lukewarm, man, I don't know, I should preach that sermon in Revelation. You don't want to be a lukewarm Christian. You don't want to be a lukewarm Christian. You don't want to look for a church that entertains. That's what people are looking for. That's why Quinn said it, and I'm going to put emphasis on it again. Cultivate the community of God. Cultivate. Take part in the kingdom. I love what the ladies did yesterday. I love what we did yesterday morning with the men. We have home groups. We don't have to be many. Remember, the church of Christ, the kingdom is not a matter of a bunch of people. But it's that small group of people that understand kingdom life. So kingdom-minded forces you to see everything from a kingdom perspective. And that's my prayer for our church. While church-minded or service-minded get us to focus on a service. And here, we're not about a service. I tell you one thing I really hate is religion. You know why? Because religious people are stiff. Religious people don't know how to love. If you open your Bibles with me again in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 20, the church of the kingdom. It says, together we are his house. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 20. I don't know if you can find it with me. It says, together we are his house, built on the foundation of the apostles, the prophets, and the cornerstone of Christ Jesus himself. And I want you to underline that in your Bible. Christ Jesus himself is the cornerstone, meaning the foundation, the rock that holds the house is Christ. We are carefully joined together in him. Carefully, I love that. And I know you, Dave, you're a builder. Did you lay bricks or stone? Did you used to lay bricks and stone? But you know about it, though. Maybe some of you guys have done stone laying. I mean, you can't just, like me, I can't just go and lay stone. There is a way about it. That's what it's saying here. God laid the stones, which is us, on the solid foundation, which is Christ. And it says, becoming a holy temple. We are carefully joined together in him, becoming a holy temple for the Lord through him. You Gentiles also being made part of his dwelling. Everybody say dwelling. See, dwelling is a place, I mean, like our home is a dwelling. You dwell at your house, your dwelling place. And not only in your house, each of us have a little private corner where we really dwell. Because in our house, each of us has a room or you have a spot, right? And some of our dwelling is a lot cleaner than other dwelling, you know, like if we have 3-4 bedroom, my bedroom might be a little cleaner than his bedroom. All right? So this is my dwelling. This is where I dwell. This is where I live. This is where I wake up. I sleep. This is where some of us, we eat. Right? So your dwelling is a place of privacy. It's a place of intimacy. I want you to really pay attention to this in this verse. It says God made us his dwelling when he lived in us by his spirit. That's the good news. Here's another verse. Psalm 127 verse 1. It says, unless the Lord builds a house, the work of the builder is wasted. That's why I want God to continue to build my house. When I'm talking about, you know, we're talking about the church. The church is not only us together, but I am also the church. I am the temple of the Lord. So I got to allow the Lord to build me. I am the temple of the Lord. So I gotta make sure that I'm building my life on the solid foundation, on the firm foundation. Unless the Lord protects a city, guarding it with sentry. Here's another verse. Do no good. So we have been built on a solid foundation. Here's another verse. Matthew chapter 7 verse 24. It says, anyone who listens to my teaching and follows it is wise. See, now there's two things. Listen is not enough. You have to do what it says. Faith come by hearing. You know, this is something probably foreign to probably maybe all of you. if not most of you, all of you, the voodoo mindset. Because this culture is not, I mean, the psychic, like medium. I hear people watch movies about medium, people watch movies about vampires, movies that scares them because life is not scary enough. But what I'm talking to you right now is a serious thing, what I'm going to tell you. People go to rich doctors, and I actually post something on Facebook that's really funny. That's actually really funny. Go check it out. People believe. Faith comes by hearing. People believe in witch doctors. Mama Jenna, you understand what I'm talking about. And they go to a witch doctor. Let's say, for instance, one guy, actually, I've heard of him. One of my friends knows him. He needed money. He wanted money. So sometimes the devil, they do crazy things. They call out the stars, you know, evil spirit, and the evil spirit would give them some numbers, and the numbers, they would play the lottery. Oh, yeah, seriously. And they would win tons of money. So this one guy went to the witch doctor, he's like, all right, I just want money. But usually, Satan gives nothing for free. The world gives nothing for free. All this pleasure, all this want stuff, I mean, it'll cost you. It will cost you. And most of the time, it costs your joy, your life, your marriage, your children, your future. I mean, even nowadays with this generation, where everybody wants to, it's like you are 20. There's no way you can live in a house like Dave's, because he works all his life for that. So if you see somebody driving a Porsche, there's no way at 22 you think, unless you're gonna bury yourself in debt. How are you gonna do that? To my young people here, the wisest thing you can do is live within your means. Drive that. Old antique, 1977. Actually, 1977 would be an antique, would be a nice car. 1998 Corolla for $3,000. Make sure you have money at the bank. Make sure you have money at the bank. The more money you have, the better you are. The more stuff you have, unless your great-grandparent left you a fortune, but still. You see what happened to people that wins the lottery and can't manage. They only rich for a short period of time. So go back to the story. The guy went to the witch doctor saying, you know what? I want lots of money. And then the witch doctor says, oh, sure. I'll give you lots of money. But Satan never gives them the condition first. It's always, okay, you want this? I'll give it to you. Then I'll give you the condition. How stupid that is. So the guy's like, okay, yeah, give me money. So whatever they had to do, they did it. So the witch doctor says, go home and you do this, whatever. I mean, I don't know. I mean, it's crazy stuff. He went and do it. Found a lot of money. And then he came back to the witch doctor saying, hey, I found a lot of money. Then the witch doctor's like, okay, good, awesome. But he's like, what's the condition? He said, well, the witch doctor told him, well, from now on, you cannot eat anything else but dry bread. Look at you guys' faces. Who would want that? That's what the enemy does to people in the world. You think, man, it's like life is good. Life is not good outside of Jesus Christ. Life is not good outside of intimate relationship with the Holy Spirit. It's not. Dry bread. And then the guy's like, what? Is there any way coming back? He's like, now the devil's like, there's no turning back. You either do it or you die. So now here is this guy with tons of money, bought big houses. I mean, He had lots of businesses, but man, never, I mean, he can smell steak. He can smell fried fish. He can smell fried rice. He can smell, I mean, and I tell you, in the Caribbean, we do have good food. I'm telling you, this is a true story. True story. People believe things. And whatever you keep hearing will build your faith. If you keep hearing from the world, if you keep hearing, that's why, I mean, even this whole Snapchat, those things, Instagram, it's all a good way to stay connected with your friends. But everybody lives for likes. Everybody lives for approbation. Until you realize it was never real. You know, everybody's looking for somebody to accept them. Think about it. Kendra and I, we talk about it. If people love a Savior so much, why wouldn't they accept Jesus? Everybody wants someone to like them. Why would you just accept the guy that would really love you unconditionally? Huh? I mean, I want approbation. I want people to never leave me. I want somebody that would never betray me. I want someone that actually proved his action by his word. Jesus already died for you. Why wouldn't I accept him? Why wouldn't I befriend him? Why wouldn't I read about him? Why wouldn't I be passionate about him? Huh? Oh man, I pray for the lost souls. I'm like, God, open the eyes of people out there. They need you, but yet they're blind. They're going to hell. Save them, Lord. We pray for our children. We pray for some of you have great grandchildren. You don't have great yet, but maybe some of you have great. I don't know. You guys have great? Six great. Wow. You are blessed. Anyone who listens to my teaching and follows it is wise. I'm offering you to be, I am offering you to be wise. I'm challenging you. I'm like, please guys, let's be wise. Let's be wise. The Bible says in Proverbs, the wise men build. Oh, that's a good verse. Where is it at? It wasn't in my note. It's Proverbs where it says, you build your house on wisdom. But knowledge, that's what keeps it. It's in Proverbs. Proverbs something. Anyway. Your knowledge. Gain knowledge. That's why I talk about the church and the kingdom. Knows that the church is not just a religious thing. No, it's not. It's a community. The church versus the kingdom. What is the kingdom? You know, what is the kingdom? The kingdom is the country where the citizens reflect the king's lifestyle. In a kingdom, you dress like a king. That's why we love the story of Robin Hood, right? Because Robin Hood, he was supposed to be... When I watched that movie, I'm like, you know what? Robin Hood is my king. He's my type of king. Why? Because he wants the well-being for the people. God is not the bad king, like the bad king. Because a good king wants the subject in the kingdom reflect his character. See, God is a good God. He's a good father. He will take care of you. But then, God is not like this. Sometimes kids think, for you to be a good parent, your parents got to give you everything. If you're giving your kids everything, you'll ruin them. They got to work for it. They do. Even if you can give those girls everything, don't. Make sure they earn it. I know you guys might not like me right now, but it's okay. I love you so much to tell you the truth. And the same thing for Quinn. You're a parent that's just like, yes, go for it. Yes, go for it. Never go to work. You know, you're sleeping all day in your house. Now, I'm not talking about a grown-up man that's living with you, a grown-up kid that's living with you in your home. He's responsible. He's going to work. He's helping with the rent. Hallelujah. That's a good son. Keep him. All right? Right? Let's balance that. Because your son could be 30 living with you, but then you know what? If he's responsible, that's good. But this society, unfortunately, I see it. The parents, they're so naive and they contribute to the destruction of their children because they want to give them everything. Your parents didn't give you everything. You worked for it. And you, there's a sense of, man, I've earned this. Oh, yes, I work hard for this, man. I remember that son digging the ditches. I remember it. Oh, man. And then you know what? You spend it with frugalness. Is that a word? Is that a word? Frugalness. Frugal. You know, it's like, man, you just careful how you spend it. Everything comes easy, goes easy. There's a verse too in Proverbs. It says, riches, gain riches the wrong way or fast. It never profit. It never sticks around. Bien mal acquis n'a profite jamais. When you just get with, get, oh, there's another movie. What's that movie? It's a Wonderful Gift? No, It's a Wonderful Life? No. Is it? No, not A Wonderful Life. There's the guy, his grandparent left him a lot of money, but he had to work for it. He had to go through training. Ultimate Gift. You guys haven't seen that movie? Go watch it. Sunday afternoon movie. The Ultimate Gift. The Ultimate Gift. The Ultimate Gift. The best gift you can give someone is the gift of work. The gift of making sure they earned it. And now in this society, everybody wants everything for free. Nobody wants to go to work. Everywhere is hiring. Everywhere is hiring. Nobody wants to work. Because this government is just killing it. I'd be like, man, you got to go to work. Of course, you're going through a tough time. Let's help you. But I give you 6 months. I give you a year. I give you 2 years. You got to show me that you're making progress. You got to show me that you're looking for work. That's how you kill a society. When you give everything for free, then you have a bunch of people that don't want to work. I mean, how come they don't get it? So we pray. That's what we do. We pray. We pray, God, open the eyes of those that are in government so they can understand. You can't just giving everything for free like that. A kingdom is a country. I mean, all of you have been to New York. And I remember going to New York City. There is a place in New York, I can't remember the name of the street, but they call it Chinatown, Jamaican Town. You guys remember? Haitian Town, Jewish Town. Why? What, you know what happened? Those people, they go there and live and colonize. So because they colonize that street, guess what they do? They bring the culture. Haitian Town. And when you go there, everybody's speaking Creole. You buy fritai, you buy fried plantain, rice and beans, and you see trash on the street. As a matter of fact, there's a town in Miami, they call it Little Haiti. The government in Miami, they pretty much just like, all right, you Haitians just live there. I mean, you go there, everybody's like walking almost half naked, you know, trash on the street. Everybody's, I mean, it's like you step in there, boom, Haiti. Because they colonize. You see, that's why God wants still have you on earth. And that's where God had for the original purpose for God, for Jesus, for the church, is that the church would colonize. What do we pray? Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Let your kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. So God's plan for you is to for the church is that the kingdom would come in our midst. Give me three things that characterize the kingdom. Righteousness, peace, joy. You see, now a church, a community that is based, that is a church, a kingdom church, you will see the atmosphere is based on righteousness. Justice. Righteousness. We don't treat people because of their status, or because of the economic financial status, or because they're black, they're white, they're yellow, they're green. We don't treat people because they're tall. Oh, this girl is prettier than her. We all come in different shape, different form, different size. God created us all. See, righteousness. A church that's kingdom-minded, holiness will characterize it. So if one of us is living in sin, and as a matter of fact, if you open your Bibles with me in 1 Timothy chapter 3. 1 Timothy, is everybody still with me? Is everybody still with me? 1 Timothy chapter 3. Are you learning something today? Thank you, Lord. 1 Timothy chapter 3. Thank you, Father, for your word. All right? So it says verse 14. I want to read verse 14 and 15. Does everybody have it? Verse 14 and 15. It says, I am writing these things to you now, even though I hope to be with you soon, so that if I am delayed, you will know how people must conduct themselves in the household of God. Now, this word, the household of God, means the community of saints. The saved one. The redeemed one. The church. Remember, I told you, the church only was mentioned once in the Gospels, and it was Matthew that says church. But the word church in the Greek, when you studied that, it means the community. It's like, oh, Peter, from that revelation, I'm going to build a community. I'm going to build a community of people. Their mind will be kingdom-minded. Whatever they loose on earth is loose as well in heaven. All right? It says, where was I? It says, if you will know how... I'm going to write you this thing. You will know people must conduct themselves in the community of God. Okay? This is the church of the living God, which is the pillar and foundation of the truth. So, go back the same chapter to verse 1. Verse 1. It is a true saying that if someone wants to be an elder, he desire an honorable responsibility. Give me a minute here. Let me pull it on my iPad, because once again, I forgot to pack my eyes. I tell you. Thank God for glasses. This is a trustworthy saying. If someone aspires to be an elder, he desires an honorable position. So an elder must be a man whose life is above reproach. So in the church, kingdom church, whoever is serving, when we say elder, it could be a leadership team, it could be a pastoral position, it could be not only the leadership, the worship leader, but as much as everybody in the worship team. Because sometimes we put a lot of emphasis on the worship leader, the pastor. Well, what about the pianist? They should be above reproach. What about the drummer? Oh, they should be. People should respect them. It goes on. Verse 2, so an elder must be a man whose life, or woman, above reproach. He must be faithful to his wife. He must exercise self-control, live wisely, and have a good reputation. Why? Now, in this category, I'm putting ushers, like, you know, like Donna and Gary today, they're ushering people in the house of the Lord. So people like that, they should have good reputation. Let's say for some random reason, one good day, God brought one of the neighbors come to visit. And it happened to be the neighbors that's down from them. And then once they walk in front of the door and there's like, these people? Oh, honey, we gotta go. We can't come here. No. That's why if you serve in the house of the Lord, you see, the word of the Lord brings order. It's like if you're ushering people in the house of the Lord, your life must exemplify self-control. If you're working with the children, you're teaching them, you're the children director, youth minister, you know, even you behind the camera, you know, you're doing the sound or you're doing the projection. I told the guys already, God is more concerned about your life than your service. I am more concerned making sure that Xavier is a disciple of Christ than him coming here and do what he does. Are we thankful? Yes. Does he do a good job? Yes. Are we grateful? Yes. But man, we love you so much, man. I want to make sure, and I'm telling you, you got to make sure you have that personal relationship with Jesus. Because if we don't do that, we fail. He must not be a heavy drinker. You can't. This is order in the house of the Lord. A heavy drinker. Now, it doesn't say not to drink. But it's like every little bit, you're just drinking. Every weekend, you're drunk. That's bad. That is bad. Shouldn't happen. I know some people say, you know what, don't drink. If you feel like, hey, this is a weakness, please don't drink. Get rid of it. I'll take it a step forward. If you feel like for you to relax to drink, stop it. The Bible says in Ephesians, be filled with the Holy Spirit. Don't rely on drugs or drink. But there's freedom. As a matter of fact, Paul talked later on. He's like, you know what, Timothy, for your little stomach problem, have a little hard liquor. It's okay. But don't abuse it. This is order in the house of the Lord. He must not be a heavy drinker or be violent. He must be gentle, not quarrelsome, or not love money. Greedy. That's why our world is the way it is, because people are greedy. They want more. You want more. So you buy more stuff. You want more stuff. You want more. Stop it. You don't need that much. I tell myself that. I don't need it. Do I need it? Not especially nowadays. Now, I haven't bought anything lately. I'm like, because sometimes you get this urge, you know, let's go buy. And I'm thinking, okay, I go buy and I got there, I'm like, okay, do I need it? I don't need it. Me and myself and I were having a good conversation. I don't need it. So then I took myself out. Let's go, myself. We go home. I tell you guys, when the church understand the kingdom, everybody would want to be part of it. People don't want to be part of it because we have fallen away from kingdom culture. We stop cultivating the kingdom culture in our churches. I give you the example, Chinatown. You don't need to go to China to go to China. Go to New York City, Chinatown. China Street. And spend 3 hours on that street. You will experience China. It's the same thing. You don't need to go to heaven to experience heaven. You should be working by a Christian. That's why if you're dealing with addiction, get rid of it. Get rid of it. There's freedom. There's power in the name of Jesus to set you free. Kick that thing out. Get rid of it. Live a free life. Because Jesus died for your freedom. People in the kingdom are free. They are free. You're not being dominated under, oh, I can't quit smoking. I can't quit drinking. I can't quit sleeping. I can't quit eating. Yes, you can. I can do all things through Christ. Through Christ. Through Jesus. See, that's why God, He created you better than the angels. The angels don't have will. We do. We have the will. God give us the willpower. I choose to serve Christ. I choose to be a good person. I choose to be a good citizen. I choose to take care of myself. I choose to forgive my family. I choose to. Sometimes they're bad. I want to choke them. I confess, I told you, you know. I choose to honor my dad. Guys, I have no reason to respect my dad. I have no reason to honor my dad. But the more I'm learning Jesus, you know what I did? Lately I kept feeling, you know, Hades crazy, he's there, his visa went out, so he can't come back. I mean, he's trying to renew it, embassy's closed. So I kept feeling, just being under the conviction, man, yeah, my dad, you know. The Bible says a godly man takes care of his family. Meaning not only financially, but emotionally. You know, you make sure you stay in relationships. You know, you call them, you respect them. And I'm like, I really don't like my dad because I think of the things he did to us. I mean, I'm like, but it's like, Jesus, like, no. Honor your parents. Honor. Yeah, he doesn't deserve it, but you honor. So then, I couldn't call him. I called a friend, and I give that friend his number. I said, call my dad, tell him to call me. It was his birthday, August 6th. I called him. I said, man, dad, just happy birthday. I said, we love you. And while I was talking with him, the Lord says, you know, get him a phone. Get him WhatsApp. Get him in contact. Create that communication. My dad is 74. I don't know. He might die. I don't know. He's healthy. But that doesn't... When I say he might die, I'm not saying he's old. He's very healthy. But I don't see him. I don't want to live with any regrets. That's my thing. So I'm like, if somebody would call me saying, hey, man, you know what? Your dad didn't make it. What? Would I regret? Would I have any regret? I don't want to have that. I want to be like, oh, man, oh, I'm going to his funeral. I want to be able to talk about him, not from 25 years ago. I want to talk about him from today. Dad and I, we had a good relationship. We had a good communication. Set the money. Got my bad buddy to buy him a phone, set up WhatsApp, you know, set it up. Call him. I said, hey man, happy birthday. From now, we talk 3-4 times a week now. He sent me a voice, tell me what he did today. And then usually Sundays we talk, so this afternoon we'll talk. Why? Because we have a communication. Why do I do that? Why do I do that? It's because kingdom perspective. Every relationships, everybody that wants relationship, some people stop trying to change them. I have some of those in my life. Maybe you do have some of those in your life. People you can't change. They're just stubborn. I've got this one sister, she's just like, finally, all right, just love her where she's at. Acceptance, right? I accept her where she's at. I bathe her with love and mercy. I don't try to preach to her. She knows I'm a preacher. I'm a preacher. I don't try to tell her, hey, you need... I mean, it's crazy stuff. I can tell you stories, recent ones, but I'll spare you today. But I'm telling you this because the word of the Lord says, give order, give ways to have order in the house of the Lord. In the same way, verse 6, an elder must not be a new believer. because he might become proud and the devil would cause him to fall. Are you guys still with me? Today, you know I took more than I usually talk about. But are you learning something? You know, sometimes our bodies, we get anxious. You know, like, okay, now I got to get up. I got to stretch. It's okay. It's okay. You are at the best spot. Before you know it, we will finish. Verse 7. And also people outside the church must speak well of him so that they will not be disgraced and fall into the devil's trap. What's the worst that can happen inviting your neighbors to an event? They say no. But you know what? A lot of people, they can't invite their neighbors to church activities because their life. The worst that can happen is, oh man, you can't go. But if you have a neighbor you never talk to, you never do life with, when they're out there, you never go and just find a common ground. That's it. Find a common ground. Everybody out there needs someone to listen to them. Everybody out there needs someone that could show them love, honor, respect. Everybody. We are. We know. Verse 8, in the same way, deacons must be well respected and have integrity. They must not be heavy drinkers or dishonest with money. They must be committed to the ministry of faith now revealed and must live with a clear conscience. Verse 10, before they are appointed as deacon, let them be closely examined. If they pass the test, then let them serve as deacon. In the same way, their wives must be respected and must not be slander others. They must exercise self-control and be faithful in everything they do. A deacon must be faithful to his wife and he must manage his children and household well. Those who do well as deacon will be rewarded with respect from others and will have increase confident in their faith in Jesus Christ. Okay? So, I tell you all this to say what? The kingdom is a country. So God still have us here in Lansdowne to colonize Lansdowne. That's why I'm here. I'm here to colonize. I'm actually thinking about ways to reach out to our community. If you guys have ideas, please. You know, fall's coming. What can we do? You know, what can we do to reach out to the community? I mean, can we do a fall festival? Or maybe you've done that. Don't look back. Remember, some of you may have been here for years. You're like, well, we've done it. It never worked. Well, I don't care. I'm not looking back. There are things I'm praying about because I don't want to jump on doing things. I could have a tendency to be a doer. But I don't want to do things to do things. I'm praying about things. I'm like, okay, once I know what I'm supposed to do, I'm going whether I have me and Kendra. But it's not going to be like that. I know that. But we are here in Lansdowne to colonize. And I thank God because he puts you at work to colonize. He puts you at work to influence. He puts people in your life to influence them. Oh, yeah. I am in Chesapeake to colonize. Everywhere I go, I'm like that little ant, right? I'm there to colonize. I'm there to see the kingdom come. I'm there to, you know. So when you walk and live your everyday life with this mindset, oh, life is so much easier. Life is so much easier. Because when you don't have strength, you have the strength you need in the Holy Spirit. You know? I'm going to leave it at that. Then just sit on the piano for me for a minute. And what I want you guys to do is to ponder on what I've talked about right now. You know, so I've said a lot. What is the Lord telling you from everything that you've heard? Maybe some of you need to be repent. or maybe some of the things that you've got some stuff in your life that you just need to lay down at the altar. And I'm going to ask you to respond to the word of the Lord this morning. Give God an answer. Everybody. Thank you, Jesus. Father, I pray, I thank you for your word today. Lord, right now I give you space, I give you room. And we receive your word. As we answer to your word, as we give an answer to your word, we give you room, Holy Spirit. Father, we ask that you would forgive for all the time. Forgive us for all the times we have missed it. But right now, Holy Spirit, I pray that you would go in the heart of each one here. Either take them deeper, do whatever cleansing needs to be done. Just let your will take over, Father. I personally sense some of you needs to give God an answer. There's some of you that you are under conviction. I'm just inviting you to just come to the altar between you and the Lord and allow him to touch you. Allow him to boost kingdom mindset. Maybe religion has hurt you. Maybe you're watching online and you've been carrying this hurt and past. And I know there's a lot of things people carry around for years. And right now, I'm inviting you to let it go and come to God. And maybe, you know, some of you guys need to rededicate your life. You want to commit your life to Jesus. Not that you weren't committed, but you just want to go a little deeper. If that's you, just come to the altar. Thank you, Father. Let's just take some time. And as we sing a couple songs... Thank you, Lord.